Good morning, sir. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, sir?
Pardon?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you, but I can hear you, yes.
Okay, well, let me see if I can get this up the roof. I will. Can you hear me better now, sir? Can you hear me any better now, sir?
I can barely hear. Yes.
Maybe they can adjust the volume on their
end. Would you ask the CO3 to adjust the volume on your end, sir?
To adjust the volume, ask the CO3 to... There's no thing to adjust the volume.
Can you hear me now, sir?
Pardon me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You sure you can hear me now, sir? Just want to make sure. Okay, well, we're going to try to get started, so if you cannot hear us, please tell us at the appropriate time. So what is your name, sir?
They have a phone here that says we can talk on the phone.
Yes, we can talk on the phone.
Okay, thank you.
Can they give us a number that we can call in on the phone, sir?
Pardon? To call from the... Hey, good morning, this is your Ramsey.
Good morning, sir, and I understand that you have a phone, so what number should we call in on, sir?
Excuse me, it's 623-386-6160,
and then just dial extension 54886. Let me make sure. 623-386-6160, extension 54886.
That's correct.
Okay, well, we're going to call you right back at this time, sir. But before I do that, sir, let me ask one other question. How many do you have? Is this the only one that you have at your unit, sir?
Yes, that's correct. This one.
And what is his name, sir?
Verdugo.
Okay.
David Verdugo.
Okay. Okay, we're going to call right back, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
The number you are calling does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor...
Today.
Yeah.
Just put it in the other packet.
So on the board, Mr. Johnson, you're still gonna do this,
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna let you go ahead with that one, and, okay, so we'll be ready only when you are, sir.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Pardon?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, could you please say your name and your ABC number for us for the record?
David Verdugo, 033-097.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Verdugo. You're going to put us on board of executive clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Louis Gonzalez. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead this morning, okay? Mr. Verdugo, can you hear me? Mr. Verdugo?
Yes.
Do you have a hearing problem, or are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I have a lot of wax in my ear. I have to see the doctor put in between the wax out.
Okay, alright. So, sir, at some point you're not hearing, please let me know so that we can make sure that you're able to hear what's going on during the hearing, okay?
Okay.
Alright. So, you're appearing before this board for a regular parole, home arrest, absolute discharge, is that right?
Pardon me?
You're appearing before this board for home arrest, absolute discharge, or a regular parole, is that right?
I don't understand what you're saying. Did you adjust me?
Okay, you're appearing before this board for a regular parole, on arrest, by absolute discharge. Is that right?
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So you're going to put this board on regular parole, absolute discharge, on arrest. Is that correct? I understand what you're going to put the board for, sir.
So I still went up there and to psych call and got my psych skill.
yard because you didn't respond. It took them over an hour for you to respond. Is there a reason why you didn't respond?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't hear him say nothing about pill calls. You know, I go every day now. You know, I make sure that I'm up there before they even get a pill call.
Okay, and then also, a couple of years ago, you had two violations, which basically stated you didn't want to work in the kitchen anymore.
No, I don't work in the kitchen. I work for special projects.
Okay, well, in 2016, you were working in the kitchen. Why is it that you didn't want to work in the kitchen anymore? What was the problem?
The supervisor didn't, no disrespect to her, but you know what? She's always yelling at me like a little kid. I'm not a little kid. I'm 65 years old. You know, and finally I went to the coordinator and told her that I wanted a job change. She gave me a job change and put me a visitation board up in the admin building here because I've been here in the kitchen 2 years.
Okay. All right, so according to the information that we have, you've been to this parole board many times. You were granted a parole to the next consecutive sentence in 1998. And then it looks like in November of 2000, you were granted home arrest. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. And then it looks like in May of 2001, they continued you on home arrest. And then it looks like, you know, you were out for 7 years. And it looks like in June of 2004, your parole revocation was revoked, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and so...
I completed the 1 year of home arrest when they put me on home arrest.
Right, you completed 1 year of home arrest, and then you went on regular parole, and then you...
Yeah, regular parole.
You went on regular parole, and then...
Sure, I had a bracelet on my ankle okay. For a whole year, and then when I went before the parole board, they said to go to my parole officer and have the bracelet taken off, since I had completed the program.
Okay. So you went 3 years after you were on regular parole from 2001 to 2004 before they revoked your parole. Why did they revoke your parole at that time, sir?
I believe that they, if I recall correctly, I believe it was some police, non-police contacts that I had, and I had to report to my parole officer and told him that I had to contact because I didn't get no ticket, it was just a routine stop. I was coming from one of my substance abuse classes, and he put the lights on me, but so I didn't think nothing of it. You know, he said it was just a routine check, you know what I mean? So I figured there was no point, you know, calling my parole and telling me I said stop. So this happened on three different occasions, and he invited me.
Okay.
All my violations, man, I've been here now, incarcerated now for the past 8 years. They never held me, the parole board never held me more than 2 years and then released me. I knew I could do well and I will do well if I'm given this opportunity.
Okay, well it looks like, sir, you were incarcerated for a year and then you were granted regular parole in 2005.
2005?
Yes, sir. You were granted regular parole, and then it looks like in 2007.
2007, yeah, I recall that, but I don't remember 2005.
In 2007, your parole was revoked 1 year. 2 years later, your parole was revoked in 2007.
Yeah, but once when I was, I had to win to drop the cap, my parole officer came over to him and one of his co-workers, and he said, you didn't drop, because I was working graveyard at the time. And he said, well, you have 10 days to turn yourself in. And I said, well, I'm going to go drop at 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, I went and dropped at CAS, my year now. It came out clean. He said, you need to play that to the pro board. So when they see that my UN is clean, they reinstated me back on parole. I had been back 8 months, and they reinstated me because he said, you did do the right thing, go and drop, and you still came out clean.
Okay, and that's right. It looks like in February of 2008, you were again granted regular parole in February of 2008, so that they granted you regular parole And then it looks like a year later, less than a year later, well, over a year later, a year and a half, in August of 2009, your parole was revoked again, sir.
Mr. Craig?
And it looks like in September...
I take responsibility for my actions, you know, the mistakes I've made, but I'm not looking at the past. I'm looking forward to my future and what I have to do.
I do understand that, sir, because it looks like in 2010, you were granted regular parole again. And then about a year later, your parole revocation was revoked. It looks like that you've been granted parole four separate times. And each time, you had your freedom and you were out on the street. And for one reason or another, your parole was revoked, sir. Is that right?
Correct.
And you've been incarcerated now since 2011?
2010. Yeah, 2011, correct.
Okay.
I'm trying to refresh my memory.
All right. So, sir, I do know that there is a letter here from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated June 28, 2018. It was the Maricopa County Attorney's Office objects to any possible release of you, but I am going to say, just read out the hearing, it's the same thing that's in your pre-sentence investigation report. Basically says that on February 3rd, 1974, Robert Robin, along with Danny DeDuba and the defendant, David DeDuba, were on their way back from a bar driving 27th Avenue when they decided to stop by the Big Eagle Market. Robert Robin, and Danny DeDuba entered the market while the defendant waited in the car. Says that you and Robert Robin proceeded to rob the market owner. Says that you knocked the owner down and shot him with a 22 caliber handgun. Says that you and the two men then went back to the car, got inside the car, drove away, and subsequently through police investigation, you guys were arrested. During the investigation, it originally said that you denied any involvement or denied being the ones to go in there and do the robbery. You went to court, you were convicted by a jury, is that right?
Correct.
And so,
but you I can't tell you or any court or anything what transpired inside the store. Just like you said, Robert Robin and Daniel Sullivan were my two co-defendants. They went inside the store. The two silver cops were sitting on the table that they went in there to purchase. I was sitting in my car. I didn't have no gun in my possession. I did not commit no balance, no malice. I didn't shoot or kill anyone. I cannot tell you what transpired inside the store because I was not inside the store. But yet, like you said, and I agree with you, I was convicted by a jury in the felony crime or the felony murder. You're just a joking man who pulled the trigger.
Okay.
But like I said, so to this day, I cannot tell you what transpired inside the store.
So is there some conflicting stories about whether you were in the store or Danny was inside the store, who was waiting in the car? There were some contradictory statements made, is that right?
There was not?
There were some statements made that was never verified, according to the information I have, that it was you and Robin that went into the store, and it was your brother, it was Danny DeDuba who was inside the car.
No, I was sitting inside the car, David DeDuba. Daniel Solid DeDuba, my co-defendant, and Robert Robin went inside the store. Then they came back to the car, they returned, I recall, when they returned back to the car, and they were waving their guns, talking about, we just shot a man, get the hell out of here. But I recall Daniel Solid DeDuba, William Pickett, one of the witnesses, that he turned around and went back and took him in at gunpoint and put him inside the store or whatever he did, and then he ran back to the car and said, man, just get the hell out of here, we just shot a man. But he tell me they killed the man or anything. We just all testified in court and said that, you know, nobody was taken, so it was not an armed robbery. So the 52 cents were marked on the cash register that they went in there actually to purchase a 216-ounce Coke at a time when they had 16-ounce Cokes.
Okay. So, sir, you did have, prior to this incident happening, had a prior history? You had a prior history, criminal history, mainly for incidents involving drugs? Do you know drugs or just drinking at the time that this happened, sir?
No, the time that it happened, we've been drinking there at the Mai Vida Bar right there on 13th Avenue and Grant. And we've been drinking that afternoon, and I told the boys, told my two co-defendants, we got to go home because I was working graveyard from 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning, and I had to go to work, so you know what, we had to leave. But we had been drinking and playing pool that day. And when we got there, on 27th Avenue heading north, I made a left-hand turn right there on Roosevelt, and I don't recall which one of my co-defendants said, hey, who's the storage and get some coke from the Bacardi we got here in the car. They had a fifth of Bacardi rum, and they wanted to continue drinking. At the time, you know, I pulled in because they said they're going to buy 2 16-ounce cokes. Now, after this occurred, I had to go home and get some sleep because I worked at 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning. They changed their appearance. I didn't change no appearance because I didn't feel that I had done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, when Gus Oviedo and Mark Arterius, the homicide detectives, I told them that I would turn myself in to prove my innocence, which I did. I turned myself in to prove my innocence because I don't figure that I had done any crime or done anything wrong. What I should have done is call a homicide or something and tell them what I know these guys go away, what they had done, but from secondhand information what they had told me. But I didn't do that because I was thinking about going to sleep, I've been drinking that night, and I had to go to work at 11 o'clock at night.
So, Mr. Verdugo, you went out and you had your freedom 4 separate times. Can you tell me what would make a difference if you were out again? Or, you know, why wouldn't you wind up going back to prison again? So what's the problem you have with Justin?
Can you repeat that, please?
You went and had your freedom 4 separate times. Each one of those times you wind up being revoked and sitting back to prison. Why is it that you're having a hard time adjusting once you're released? Why should this board release you again?
I agree with you, you know what I mean? I've had 4 opportunities, you mean? But I know that if you gave me another opportunity, you'll never see me before this parole wall.
Have you been doing any drugs since you've been incarcerated back in prison? Have you been doing any drugs since you've been back in prison?
No.
So what is it going on?
As a matter of fact, on the run that I live on, 21 of us, I live on the honor run that was selected by the administration, 21 of us of the yard of Bachman, and we don't allow any drug activity on our run because we are considered honor inmates because we do not do drugs in that run. So I will do drugs and everyone in there is drug free also. And I prefer to be there in the honor run that I was picked as one of the inmates on the run that they know that we don't do drugs and that nobody in there on that run have any drug activity going on.
So, Mr. Blue, why don't you have any family support or anything to support you to assist you when you get out?
I have my sister that just really came up to visit on a food visit. So my sister, she's got leukemia, so you know, I don't want to try to be a burden on her because the cancer she has, it's kind of cancer and leukemia. So I don't try to be a burden on her, but I call her. She writes to me regularly. You know, but I don't try to be a burden on her because I know that she's sick. But she does come up to visit me, so I do have family support as far as that goes. I love my sister, and I lost my mother and my brother since I've been incarcerated these last 8 years, and I don't want to lose her. I like to be there for her if she gets sick or something, you know. But I also have to continue programming out there. or any special conditions that my parole officer may set for me, like in the past, which I've always completed that. I've always gone to my anger management programs, all the substance abuse classes that I've gone to. So I think I've done well, you know, for myself, me.
So, Mr. Bill, what is the technology that we have? Because it appears that all the medications either have to do with one family man or a family to report or submit a UA. What is the technology we have, sir?
That was that one time when I explained to the parole board that I was having back problems, and this guy had just came back from the hospital. Now, I didn't know they were morphine pills. When he gave me a pill, he said, take this pill and take your back pain away. So I did. Later on, I find out that it's morphine. And by some coincidence, they gave me a UA, and I came out dirty on morphine, they said, or whatever their result was.
So you telling me that with all the experience that you have, someone just gave you some pills for your back, and you didn't ask what the pills were?
Did the pills work? Yeah, you took away my pain in my back, because I have back problems.
So you would be aware that if you had pain, you were taking some type of narcotic in order to do away with the pain, and the result of it was that it wasn't a prescription that was prescribed for you, is that right?
Correct.
All right.
I should have took it, but I was bad pain, you know, I got a ruptured disc in my lower back. Now, if I put a little bit of a narcotic, I would have taken it.
So, sir, do you have any money that's going to save that for anything?
Any what?
Money on the books.
Do I have any money on my books?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have $59.74 on my books right now.
Okay.
I work, you know, I make $35. My sister sends me $25, $30, whatever she can, you know. Like I said, I don't try to be a burden on her. I always try to keep a little money on the phone so I can buy some phone time and call my sister and see how she's doing.
Besides your sister, do you have any other one with her? Besides your sister, do you have any other relatives?
Just a brother and a sister that lives in Las Vegas.
Is there a reason why you have no letters or anything from any of your family, sir, and your mom?
Well, so, like I said, that one sister of mine in Las Vegas, she's real distant from me and my brother and my sister that are out there. And my brother lives on his own. My sister just recently got married. And like I said, I don't try to be a burden on them. That's why I would rather be sent to a halfway house where I can get programming there and stuff and get a part-time job for me. I know that Shamrock Farms is always hiring. They even hire ex-felons, and I would like to go there and work part-time also and take my classes there at the halfway house. That way I'm not a burden on anyone, you know?
Okay, so the last programming that I see that you took was in 2016. Have you taken any programming in the last few years?
I got other programs that are done through mental health that were not put on the list right there. Okay. I had substance abuse, relapse prevention. I have re-entry. I have, I've taken these classes through Dr. Weber. Dr. Weber is mental health and they hold classes, so I take classes. Other than that, now I work, so I'm unable to attend any classes.
Okay. All right, so I'll see if the board has any additional questions for you. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Verdugo, I'm curious about the revocation in 2011, and I'm reading the warrant, and it says that you were found with a glass pipe, and then that resulted in an additional sentence. of 1 year to the Department of Corrections. What was that about? Were you using drugs?
Yes, that, no, I was not on any drugs. That was just a cracked glass pipe and had film on it. And when I was at my brother, at my nephew's house, for his birthday party, I was sitting there eating cake, and for some reason, somebody called the same thing. Something that happened there, and they told us all to walk outside, and we want to check and see if there's any dead bodies. I don't know what that all transpired, but anyway, the officer proceeded to pat down everybody that walked out of the house and was sitting there eating birthday cake and ice cream. And at the time I had that stem, I didn't eat nothing other. I could have tossed it, I could have put it right there in the pillow, you know, but I didn't figure that, you know, it didn't have no residue on it. All it was just a bimbo and a glass stem. I even told that police officer, you give me a UA right now, I'll come off clean because I'm not doing drugs.
Whose pen was it?
Huh?
Whose was it?
Whose was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the pipe was mine. Yeah, I admit to that.
Okay, sir.
I take responsibility for my actions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
That I do.
Okay, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Babulu, can you hear me clearly?
Huh?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah.
You said earlier in our discussion with you that if we gave you an opportunity, we'd never see you again. Have you said that to a boy in the past?
Can I say what?
Have you said, you've been released more than once, and when you released at that time, did you say the same thing, that if they just gave you another chance, they'd never see you again?
No, you won't see me again, because, you know, I will not violate or and come back, and I'm going to like parole for the rest of my life anyway. So I know what my chances are, that if I ever came back to prison, you'll probably never ever release me or let me go.
The only reason I ask is because this board has seen you again numerous times based on violations.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are we to believe that you won't violate this time, especially when the history is drug use?
Because I have a future in front of me and things that continue to take drug classes, AA, whatever's necessary to keep me right and stay there the halfway out where they do offer TLC programs like this.
Weren't you offered those programs then?
Pardon?
Weren't you offered those programs then, Mr. Verdugo?
I didn't understand.
Weren't you offered any drug treatment back then?
Back then?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
2011.
I offered a program where I went to Substance Abuse right there at Southwest. I went to Anger Management up there on Camelback and like 28th Street, something like that. So, yeah, I've had treatment before in the past.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, I have any additional questions. Was it the legal sin or additional questions coming from the board, sir? We're about to go and come upon a conclusion of the hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board about the meeting itself? Mr. DeLillo?
Yes.
The board is coming upon a conclusion of the hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself?
No, not that I can think of.
Okay, so the board's going to be going through discussion. I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, or to remain silent while the board's in discussion. While the board's in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to revoke, whether to reinstate to or deny your parole, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, the board's now into discussion. Mr. Verdugo has been released on four separate occasions. It's time that he was released. He might have gone back, but he did. At one point, he was out for a while. He got on a regular home arrest. He went to regular parole, and then subsequently, basically, violated and revoked according to the information. And that we have a packet of abuse that all of his violations had to do with either drug-related offenses, not doing the UA, or not participating, being in possession of drug paraphernalia. And what really bothers me about it, I think Mr. Dugo may be doing some positive things while he's incarcerated in prison at this time, with the mere fact that shortly after his last parole hearing, he received a ticket in 2018. Although it was a minor ticket, he did receive a ticket in 2018, which appears to be a problem. I think that Mr. DeDugo has to show that he demonstrated that he's able to follow the rules and policies, and that he won't be likely to reoffend once he is released. But according to his record, he has reoffended since he's been out, and he has just recently received a ticket in 2018. Based on that information, based on his past, I at this time do not feel that Mr. DeDugo is suitable for regular parole on arrest or absolute discharge. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Mr. DeDugo.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, I just want to follow up that he also had 3 majors in 2016, which were the last 2 years, so his discipline in DOC is not very favorable. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Therefore, there's no more comments on the board. I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. DeDugo on arrest, ready for parole, or absolute discharge at this time.
Second.
Agree.
I did know earlier that there was a letter in here from the county attorney's office that was actually in there. This crime happened in 1974. Therefore, it's not eligible for a 1-year setup. So the remark motion was made by myself to deny.
Who seconded that?
I did, sir.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Kijonis. Agreed. Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed. Dr. Wright. Agreed. Mr. Neal. I'm going to mark the reasons for denial as a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm also going to mark for his previous probation or parole as he was out. I'm also going to mark the history of continued substance abuse. I'm going to mark for institutional behavior as he did receive another advance within this year and won 3 of them in 2016. I'm also going to mark for another police plan, although he did say he wanted to go stay at a halfway house, but no family support or other information contained inside for that. And I'm going to mark no family or community support. Those are going to be the reasons for denial, unless the board has some additional reasons they'd like to add. Okay. Mr. DeDugo?
Yes.
Sir, the board has voted to deny you regular parole, home arrest, or an absolute discharge. Did you hear the reasons for the denial, sir? Or would you like for me to repeat them again? Mr. DeDugo?
Yes.
Did you hear the reasons for denial, or would you like for me to repeat them again? Okay. Mr. DeDugo, I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in the hearing this morning. That is going to conclude the hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.